This morning, our reading comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
Good morning. I don't know if you heard, but there's a new legal member of our family at Grace. Maddie became a Pilston officially last week. And are the Jensens here? They just received a court date, finally. I guess it's a little way still. December 31st, they get to adopt Ariana officially as well. So, pretty exciting. Every year Christmas comes, and every year I long for God to help all of us to see it and savor it for what it truly is. Try to put yourself underneath what I'm saying here. And here's what I mean. It seems far too easy to be content with a small understanding of Christmas, doesn't it? Again, try to imagine what Christmas is, and then try to imagine how that impacts your thinking and feeling and practice. And every year it comes, and every year I face this battle of realizing how easy it is to be content with a small understanding of Christmas, its meaning, its implications, and therefore its celebration. Perhaps it's easier for you than me, but I need to fight to think and feel and act appropriately with what I claim to believe about the birth of God and all that comes with it. What's more, I often find that even when I remember, a lot of times I forget even to fight, but even when I remember to fight and I'm conscious and engaged in the fight, I realize I can't do it on my own. I need help. And so I want to be and truly need to be a part of a church, therefore, that is filled with help. And so I love the song we just sang, for instance, "Oh, Come, Let Us Adore Him." It's like a corporate summoning. Let's do this together. Oh, come on, everybody. Let's remember to adore him. He is worthy of that and more. And so we need songs like that. And well, we hope to provide that for you, help for you as a church and for one another and you for me in a number of ways, including the songs and scripture and candles and things like that, but also through an Advent sermon series. Pastor Mike and I are going to work through Hebrews chapter 1 over the next few weeks throughout Advent, and focusing in particular on its portrayal of the supremacy of the Son of God and its implications for us. What a passage. I mean, this is just four verses. What an amazing passage, reminding us of who this Christ is that we anticipate and then celebrate his coming. I want to offer a couple of words of introduction just about Hebrews and the series that we're going to be going through before I pray. Well, concerning Hebrews itself, I love, you know, I try to study and read and think and then present to you the fruit of that labor as it relates to the text that we're going to cover. And sometimes I come across a commentator or someone who says it better than I possibly could. And here's an example. Concerning Hebrews itself, Jesus' role in it, and its contemporary relevance. Just listen to this. Hebrews is a magnificent New Testament document. It is. It is carefully constructed and beautifully written, theologically profound and powerfully argued. It challenges our understanding of reality and makes us ponder a world. I love this, because this is really what Christmas is all about, for us anyway. It makes us ponder a world in which the unseen, that which we can't see, is more real, more powerful, and more attractive than that which can be seen and touched and counted. I'm still quoting. The letter that wonderfully portrays Jesus as the Son of God and the great high priest who is both human and divine, the crucified and exalted one, also, though, makes stringent demands on its readers in relation to Christian discipleship. What a great introduction to this letter we're going to spend 4 weeks on. But Hebrews was an anonymous letter. We don't know for sure who wrote it. The letter itself doesn't tell us. But it's an anonymous letter written to be read aloud to a group of Christians, like today. Urging them, its main emphasis is to urge this group of Christians to remain fast in their faith, to hold on to Jesus. They had professed faith in Christ and were getting beaten up left and right because of it. And the letter is mainly written to say, hold on, hold on. And the main reason for that, so why, you would say, if I said, you know, you took up exercise and you're running and every day your knee gets more and more sore to the point where you get a stress fracture. And I say, just keep running. You'd think, well, that's nuts. I mean, come to faith in Jesus and you're getting beaten up over it. Literally, you're getting fired from your job. Your family's disowning you. And the writer of Hebrews says, keep at it. You think, well, why in the world would I do that? And the main answer that it gives, and the answer that this text gives, that Hebrews chapter 1 gives, is because Christ is worth it. One of the first reasons given for doing so, for the first readers and for you and I today, is the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Let me, again, I did this a little bit just a second ago, but let me give you an example of the author's argument. You've heard parents, and any of you who were taught piano growing up or some type of musical instrument, or any of you parents teaching your kids, even when you're sick of it, keep practicing. Because, and then you'll give some reason, maybe you'll be able to serve the church, or because those who play the piano are highly esteemed, or maybe because it helps tune your mind as well. Or try this one. Even when it makes you want to pull your hair out, keep working on math. Maybe because the best jobs out there, or the highest paying jobs, involve math. Maybe you've heard something like that. Or here's another one. Even when you're bone tired, keep getting up early to train because perhaps there's a college scholarship available, or that's the only way you could afford college or something like that. Or here's what we're getting at. In other words, the argument is this. Here's what the author of Hebrews is trying to argue in chapter 1 and beyond. In certain circumstances, it is right to press on in spite of opposition or adversity or persecution, because on the other side of it is something greater than any discomfort you might experience along the way. It's an investment strategy. Yeah, it costs you $10 now, but you end up with $100 later every time. That's the author of the Hebrews argument here. And so in the same way, in spite of the many trials and persecutions that the recipients of this letter were experiencing because of their faith in Jesus, its author urged them to hold fast to Jesus because he is greater than all their hardship. And here's the key. You know, your best investment may be a net 10% or something. That's great, right? However, Jesus isn't just 10% greater than whatever persecution or suffering or hardship we might encounter. He is infinitely greater. He is infinitely greater. The reward for remaining faithful to Christ is infinitely greater than any negative consequence we might experience in this life. And so, Grace, the author of Hebrews wants his readers, including you and I today, to know that if ever there are reason to continue in faith in Jesus, it is that Jesus is superior to everything in heaven and on earth. That's the reason. And if that's first, here's what's second. And this Advent season, we'd like to add, if ever there were a reason to celebrate the coming of this Jesus, who is superior to everything in heaven and on earth, If ever there were a reason to celebrate Jesus' birth, it is the fact that he is superior, infinitely so, to all things. And so it's good and right then to ask how. How is he? Or in what ways do we see that? Or how does that show up that he is infinitely superior to everything? Well, in the first four verses, just four verses, the author of Hebrews lists nine aspects of the supremacy of Christ. He is above all things because he is the Word of God. He is the Son of God. He is the heir of everything. Verse 2, he is the creator of the world, or at least through him the world was created. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the upholder of the universe. He is the sin purifier. He is seated now at the right hand of God, and he is superior to the angels, number 9. Well, over the next four Sundays, then we're going to look at each of these nine aspects of the supremacy of Jesus as they show up in Hebrews 1. We're going to look at three this morning from 1 through 4. Jesus is the Word of God, the sin purifier, and superior to angels. Next week, in verses 5 and 6, we'll see two. Jesus as the Son of God and the heir of all things. And then on the 16th, Pastor Mike from verses 7 through 9 is going to help us to see that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. And then on the 23rd, just 2 days before Christmas, we'll see the last three in 10 through 14. The creator of the world, the upholder of the universe, and seated now at the right hand of God. So again, our aim in stepping away from Hosea this Advent and into Hebrews is to help you and I, all of us, in expanding our appreciation of and celebration of the incarnation, to help us all rejoice in the highest this Christmas. So let's pray that it would be so, and then look at Hebrews 1. God, that's a lot. That's a tall order. There's a lot to cover in just 4 weeks. And the things we're going to cover are greater than our wildest imagination can contain. And Pastor Mike and I are in all ways inadequate to do that. But the good news is, everybody in this church is inadequate to hear that. So we're okay in and only in the fact that the Spirit lives in us. So thank you, God, that your Spirit is here to help us articulate these cosmic, eternal, infinite truths, and to help the people in this church to hear them, not just with physical ears, but spiritual ears. And not just to hear them, but to understand them. And not just to understand them, but to believe them, and not just to believe them, but to appreciate them, and not just to appreciate them, but to live them out increasingly day by day. So may that be the case. May that be the result of our gathering and our preaching and our singing this month, this season, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first way we see the sanctifying, the author of the Hebrews says it's sanctifying, it makes us holy. The sanctifying and sustaining, it keeps us in faith in Christ. The sanctifying and sustaining supremacy of Christ and fuel for our Christmas celebrations is in the fact that the Father has chosen to give us his last and best revelation in Jesus. You hear that, Grace? Let me say that one more time. The first way we see the sanctifying and sustaining supremacy of Christ, of Jesus, and the first way we gain fuel and help for our Christmas celebrations is in the fact that the Father has chosen to give us his last and best revelation in him. Look at verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Throughout the history of the world, God communicated to his people at different times and in different ways, in different places. He spoke directly to Adam and Eve in the garden. He showed up in a burning bush to Moses. He appeared in dreams and visions to the prophets, for instance. Each of these means of communication served a particular purpose. Well, what was that purpose? The immediate purpose The immediate, the various ways that God spoke to and worked among his people were all meant to reveal his nature and will to them. There's no way we would know who God is and what he wants from us apart from God speaking to us. And the different ways that he spoke through his people and to his people were meant to help us know who God is and what he wants. But ultimately, there was something more. Ultimately, they were meant to demonstrate the need for a superior way, that these means of communication were never going to be complete. They were never going to be sufficient. The Old Testament means of communication were not enough. Something more, something better was necessary. In this highest sense, then, all of God's previous incomplete means of communication were meant to point us to Christ. Why is that? Because he is the Word of God. It is not that the Old Testament means were bad. It's just that they were not sufficient. They were a gift to the people of God. The fact that God on many occasions and through many means revealed himself to his people is no small blessing, but again, nevertheless, something more was needed. Therefore, look at the rest of the verse, or the rest of the sentence. Therefore, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Because the many times and many ways that he spoke to us to our fathers, by the prophets, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Grace, that is unspeakable glory. I tried and prayed all week to think of how to say this in a way that would capture rightly what we're dealing with here. But this is unspeakable glory. The John in his gospel words it this way. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And the Word became flesh. Skipping ahead to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Christmas. that's it, the incarnation. That's what we're preparing to celebrate, is the glory full of grace and truth of the Son of God, who is the Word of God. What an amazing reality. The new, better, sufficient, complete way that the author of Hebrews is drawing our attention to is a living way. It's a living person. It's the very Son of God. It is the Jesus whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. He is the Word of God in the flesh. It is the speech of God in the flesh. Through him, the Father speaks his fullest and final and sufficient revelation to his people. And so we ask, if Christ is supreme, if the supremacy of Christ is above all things, and that is contained in the fact, at least in part, and that he is the Word of God, what's the message? What is this message that is supreme over all? What has the Father spoken to us through this final and greatest way, through his Son? Of course, on one hand, the answer is more than we could possibly fathom, right? Concerning the number of teachings and actions of Jesus, John again in his gospel wrote, I suppose if you're to put them in a book, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that could be written if you tried to write them all down. And yet this Advent season, I just want to mention quickly three things that God has spoken to us in his Son. Remember these. Write these down. These are the help that we need as we try to celebrate Christmas the way God means us to. Number one, he came. He came. Jesus came. God sent him to let the people know. This is the speech of God, the Word of God, to let the people of God know the fullness of the glory of God. We'll see this in Hebrews. Secondly, he came to let the people of God know the fullness of the plan of salvation. And so they had seen the glory of God in all kinds of ways. Mountains shook and there were pillars of fire and they had seen it, but in Christ we see the fullness of the glory of God. And they had heard the way of salvation, which we'll talk about before, in bits and pieces and shadows and types. But God sent Jesus to communicate, to be even, the fullness of God's plan of salvation. And thirdly, don't miss this, he came to let the people of God know. God sent Jesus to communicate the will of God, to let the people know the fullness of God's love for them. Don't miss that this Christmas. Truly, Jesus, the Word of God, came to reveal the fulfillment of all things. And in that, we see the supremacy of Jesus over all things. And in that, we have amazing help to celebrate the birth of the Word of God. And so, Grace, slow down. Just take a minute, right now even, perhaps through the week. I invite you to slow down then and consider, as a means of rightly orienting your mind, your heart, and your celebration, slow down and consider the revelation of God in Jesus and all that that means. Consider all that Jesus did and said, all that the Father gave to us through Him. And in that, you'll find amazing help to celebrate Christmas. Consider the unimaginable glories revealed in Jesus and find help to celebrate His birth. But that's not all. That's a lot, right? Even that is pretty amazing. But that's not all. There's another one that we want to look at this morning. The author of Hebrews wants us to see that Jesus is the supreme revelation of the Word of God, and also that His supremacy is seen in the fact that He is the one and only purification for our sins. Look at verse 3. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The book of Hebrews in particular is filled with references to the Old Testament and its sacrificial system in particular, or specifically. The book of Hebrews is filled with references to the Old Testament with the emphasis on how sins were dealt with. Prior to Jesus, God's people would offer, according to God's design, food, drink, animals, and washings to atone for their sins. God made this way for them. They were what God chose to keep His wrath at bay. You know, in the garden, God said, if you eat of this, you'll surely die. And in one sense, Adam and Eve did, but in another sense, they didn't. They continued to live physically. So it is for you and I. The wages of sin is death, and in one sense, we're born into that death, but in another sense, we still live and move and have being. The way that God chose to hold at bay immediate death, the death that we deserve, was through the Old Testament sacrificial system for a time. But again, it was not that it was bad. It just was incomplete. Something more, something greater was needed. Grace, be encouraged and strengthened and motivated and inspired this Advent season as you consider the fact that that's exactly what we have in Jesus. Something more, something greater, something much, much greater. Jesus is infinitely superior to every bull and goat, every bird and lamb, every food and drink, every day and festival. Listen later to how the author of Hebrews says it. Hebrews 7. Jesus has no need, like those high priests in the Old Testament sacrificial system, to offer sacrifices daily, since He did this once for all when He offered Himself up. Listen to Hebrews 9. Under the Old Testament sacrificial system, it says, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. Listen to this, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, he said, like the temple was, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Grace, this is help. This is help to persevere in your faith when life is hard. This is help to celebrate the coming of Jesus. Listen again, Hebrews 9. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of true things, but into heaven itself, now appearing in the presence of God on our behalf, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly. As the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One more, Hebrews 10. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which could never actually take away sin. Like I said, they merely could hold back the wrath of God. They could never take away the sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Amen, Grace? We cannot read Hebrews and fail to see the supremacy of Christ's sacrifice above all other sacrifices. Recognizing that, indeed, receiving that, you can't just see that and understand it intellectually. Receiving that is an absolute requirement for all who would truly celebrate Christmas. You can't celebrate Christmas apart from having received this. You can have all your gifts bought, and all your food prepared, and all your family presents, and all your playlists set, and all the holiday cheer mustered, and all the nostalgia stoked, and all the goodwill toward men set, and all your charitable giving done. But if you have not by faith received the purification of your sins in Jesus, it is entirely impossible to truly celebrate the birth of Jesus. And if you attempt to celebrate the birth of Jesus apart from celebrating that he came to purify your sins, you cannot celebrate Christmas. But the good news of Christmas is this. It is that Christ came in his supremacy such that right now his sacrifice for sins might be yours if you would receive him. He is not far off. He is near, the author of Hebrews says. You may be purified of every sin and offense you have ever committed against God. You may be forgiven and freed to celebrate Christmas even now in a way you've never known if you will accept his grace and authority. That's the good news of Christianity. That's the good news of Christmas. That's the chief expression of the supremacy of Christ, and it is help for us as our minds tend to wander to Amazon and into wherever. Costco, if you're me. As our minds tend to wander, and how many of you get stressed? How many of you like Christmas is maybe the most stressful time of year, trying to navigate parties and families and weirdness and gifts and money, and you already ran out because you ate too much at Thanksgiving, and somebody brings food you don't like, but it's tradition. I mean, how many of you have experienced that instead of this? We need help, and this is help. But guess what? That's not all either. There's more in Hebrews. This one I'm just gonna mention because the whole rest of Hebrews chapter 1 is meant to explain this. But from this passage, we can see that Jesus, whose birth we anticipate throughout Advent and celebrate on Christmas, has supremacy over all things, and that he is what we just saw, the supreme revelation of the Word of God, and the supreme sacrifice for sin, but also the supreme being in heaven and on earth. He is above everything physical and spiritual, including the angels of God. We just sang also in O Come Let Us Adore Him, the angel choirs. There's an angel choir singing, Let Us Adore Him, right? Think about that for a minute. What do you think you and I would do if some angel choir burst in here and started singing? There would be a kind of glory there that I'm confident none of us have ever seen. The people who encountered angels often had fear and trembling in them. They're created, but they're powerful, spiritual beings. They're not just fun characters to make kids feel better in their children's stories. Throughout the Bible, angels brought messages directly from God to his people. They executed the judgments of God. They even brought plagues. They killed earthly leaders of armies and kings of nations. They ministered to the saints, and they even wage war, even now, against demonic spirits. Angels were present. Grace, hear this. Angels were present at Jesus' death and resurrection and will accompany him when he returns, proclaiming his glory. There is a type of glory in the angels that God put there that's truly remarkable. And yet, look at verse 4. Last verse. Jesus is as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. I think this is the author's argument. I think this is what he's trying to get us to see. Angels are remarkable creatures filled with power and wonder and glory. And evidently his readers esteemed them and would ask for them for help because that was part of their job that God gave them. And that was right and good. You rightly esteem them and look to them for help. However, I think this is his argument. As amazing as these spiritual creatures are, behold the greater glory of Christ. Behold the greater glory of Jesus and the fact that he is infinitely superior to them in every way. We'll consider a number of the specific ways. Again, if you have your Bibles, you see it. Verses 5 through 13 or 5 through 14 are an explanation of how Jesus is superior to the angels. We'll consider a number of the specific ways that he is over the next few weeks. But for now, Grace, be amazed by the fact that angels are mere instruments of Christ. As glorious as they are, they're mere instruments of Jesus who is superior to them, incomparably supreme. And therein, find help. Find help to celebrate Christmas as you contemplate some of the most remarkable created beings on earth, in heaven, on earth. And think that Jesus is infinitely superior even to them. What would you do if you saw one angel? Again, usually fear was the result and a sense of being overwhelmed and unable to stand in the presence. And yet, myriads of angels can't come close to the glory of Christ. So here's my conclusion. What does all of this mean? Okay, what do we do with this? At the very least, it means this. Christmas cannot be merely or mainly about the things of earth. It can't be merely or mainly or first about the things of earth. It cannot be merely or mainly or first about presents or food or decorations. It cannot be merely or mainly or first about religious obligations or family traditions or holiday cheer. Instead, it means that Christmas, if we are to celebrate it as it is, you can believe in something else. You know, you can create your own holiday of green things or Festivus or something. You can create your own holiday and do whatever you want on it in one sense. But if you're going to claim to celebrate the coming of Jesus, the putting on the flesh of Jesus, the birth of the Word of God, the atonement of God, that who is superior to the angels in every way, if you're going to celebrate Christmas in a manner consistent with its meaning and in a manner pleasing to God, it means that Christmas must be merely and mainly about the supremacy of the God-man who was born to reveal the will of God and seek and save the lost. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like in real life? What do we do if that's the case? Of course, it's going to look a little different for everyone, but at the very least, it means that God's word will be your guide. What do we do? What do we hang up? What do we listen to? What do we eat? What do we not eat? What do we drink? It means at the very least that God's word is going to be your guide in making those decisions. It means that God's glory is going to be your goal. Will doing this make my kids have more fun? Well, okay, maybe that's a question to ask. But only after you've asked, will this help my kids see the glory of God more clearly? Will this be a way that we can express our love for the glory of God more fully? And God's Son will be our hope. Is this clearly rooted, whatever it is. I'm not telling you what to do, but is it clearly rooted in the gospel? Would I be able to do this? Or are we doing this in such a way that is because the blood of Jesus has washed away our sin? Is this the result of the fact that I am now forgiven and free in Jesus? And God's Spirit will be our strength. As an expression of those things, I'm just going to give you seven things to consider. Practical things. Consider getting a Christ-centered Advent calendar to read each day. By yourself or with a friend or with your family. Maybe you could find a neighbor. Maybe you even have a non-Christian neighbor that's open because of this time of year to just read a simple, maybe even a children's Advent calendar together that gradually unfolds the story of the coming of Christ. Here's another one. Consider listening to Christmas songs that are actually theologically accurate about Christ. I know that's a little crazy, but But consider listening to Christmas songs that genuinely focus on the glory of Jesus. There's some fun ones out there and whatever, but at least consider working in as well to your playlist songs and make sure you distinguish between those and anything else you listen to. Hey, that was fun, but here's what Christmas is about. Number three, consider picking up a devotional. And I would love to give this to two people. There's lots of them, and I don't mean to say, these are just the two I have. Consider picking up a little devotional like John Piper's The Dawn of Indestructible Joy or Paul Tripp's Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. And so please, someone who doesn't have one of these, come up after and take this home and read it. But get something like that and read it. Even by yourself, even as a part of your quiet time, consider coming up with some type of devotional that you're going to use to focus and train your mind each day. Number four, consider memorizing this. What a great, great way to celebrate Christmas. Memorize Hebrews 1:1-4. Number five, consider sharing the story. Okay. So, I mean, if you've been around me for like, I don't know what the number is. It's not a high number, but, you know, a day maybe. Let's say a day. You have heard me talk about something Michigan State. Probably like the amazing victory over Michigan from 2015, or something like that. But the point is this, when we love something, when we're overwhelmed by the joy of something, the goodness of something, we cannot help but to tell other people about it. And telling them also at the same time expands our joy. Isn't that a wild thing? When you love something, you tell it to someone, and that actually helps you to love it more. Consider sharing the story of Christmas with at least one other person this Advent season. Pray and ask God to help you be so overjoyed that Christ has come that you're going to tell somebody, and therein that'll even fuel you maybe to tell somebody else too. But that's number five. Consider sharing the story of Christmas with someone. Number six, consider using, there's artists here that I'm not one of, but consider using your artistic gifts. Maybe, I know there are some of you who could do this. Write a song, or maybe write a story. Maybe two of you could get together and someone could write the story and some of you could draw the pictures or something. Or maybe you could paint a picture, but telling of the supremacy of Christ. Somehow, in some way, use your artistic gifts to tell the story of the supremacy of Christ. And maybe that becomes a thing you pull out each year or use or do each year or sing each year. But use the gifts that God has given you to give back to Him the praise that He is due. Here's the last one. And there's lots more that you could consider, but these are just seven that came to me this week. Number seven, consider joining us on Christmas morning to share a meal together and invite someone who doesn't have somewhere else to be, perhaps. Consider someone who's shut in, maybe, or if you know someone who's maybe in the hospital, we're going to deliver meals as well. So maybe come and we'll bring together a meal to someone who wouldn't have it otherwise, or at least have no one to eat it otherwise. But consider joining us on Christmas morning to eat together and to invite people who don't have anywhere else to be. So Grace, kids, Hebrews 1 helps us to see that Jesus Christ, the one whose birth Christmas celebrates, is infinitely superior in every way to everything in heaven and on earth. He is superior in that He is the final and greatest revelation of God, and that by His death, He alone has made purification for our sins, and in the fact that He is endlessly superior to every spiritual being, every angel in heaven. And as we increasingly come to understand these things, we will find increasing help to persevere in our faith and to celebrate the birth of Jesus with all that we are.